This is a turning point in the Gospel of Mark. This is the part when Jesus reveals the plan to the disciples. This is where the journey really begins. It might be important to back up a little bit and look at the section of Mark that comes right before today's scripture. It's important in our understanding of today's text. Here, Jesus asks the important question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responds, "You are the Messiah." This really sets everything in motion. Up to this point, it had not been explicitly stated that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, in today's scripture, Jesus tells not only the disciples, but everyone openly, that he must suffer, be rejected, die, and rise again. And so begins the journey to the cross. This journey had already been planned, but to hear Jesus speak of it was a different experience entirely. Our lives are full of journeys. Oftentimes, these journeys change us in some way. We take a journey of faith when we make the decision to be baptized and make our confession of faith. At the end of that journey, we know to whom we belong and have made the decision to follow Christ and strive to live a Christ-like life. Some take the journey down the aisle to make their wedding vows. They become tied to and committed to living with their spouse. Their lives together will never be the same. Some of you may remember the journey to the hospital to have your first child. It is clear that the journey you take home will be very different. There will be more joy and more love in your life from that day on. Or the journey you take to take your youngest child to college. You get them all moved into the dorm, take that expensive trip to Target to pick up the things they forgot, an alarm clock, a trash can, notebooks and pencils. The drive home is equally as life-changing as you marvel at the young adult your child has become. But what about Jesus's journey to the cross? Sure, we know the journey ends in resurrection. We know that on Easter we will be joyful as we celebrate Christ's victory over the grave. But the journey is not nearly as pleasant. In our scripture for this morning, we encounter a strange scene between Jesus and the disciples. When Jesus begins to tell those around him about the journey he will have to take, Peter is upset with Jesus for talking about suffering and death. Of course, it was upsetting for the disciples to hear about this. I don't blame them. We don't like to hear bad news. It is never easy to hear that someone you care deeply about is going through a crisis. You see, it's easy to see God in our journeys that are pleasant. The disciples could see God in Jesus through the many miracles he had performed, but they could not imagine where God was in the rejection and suffering of Jesus. But Jesus knew how important this journey was and rebuked Peter for not wanting to hear the bad news. But Peter was only human. He could not see where God was in that painful journey to the cross Jesus would have to take. Like Peter, we are only human. It is easy to see God in the drive home from the hospital with that new baby. It is easy to see God in the decision to be baptized and make your public confession of faith. While it's difficult to bear when we hear that a loved one is sick and has a long road to recovery, when they're given a clean bill of health, we know that God is there. We can even talk about how God walked us through it all. But there are journeys in our lives when the presence of God is not so clear. 4 years ago, my friend Ashley was diagnosed with a soft tissue sarcoma. She was 25 years old. At first, we would talk about faith and how we were sure that God was with her and would walk her through this journey. But after the second recurrence, in uncountable rounds of chemotherapy and radiation, it became increasingly difficult to see God in this terrible situation. As we watched her grow more and more frail, it would have been easy to think that God had given up on her. In the end, Ashley lost her battle with cancer, and all of us who loved her wondered where God was in our loss. But we learn from Jesus rebuking Peter that just because the presence of God is hard to find in suffering doesn't mean that God is not there. Joseph Small writes about Martin Luther, "For Luther, to know God truly is to know God in Christ, which means to know God hidden in suffering." We cannot get away from the bad stuff. We cannot get away from talking about the bad stuff. The truth is, it's going to happen. But what we learn from this conversation between Jesus and Peter is that it's okay to talk about the bad stuff. And more importantly, even though it is uncomfortable, God is present in our suffering. It might not be obvious, but God is there. The week in October when we lost Ashley was devastating. No one should lose a friend at any age, let alone 28. But the week leading up to her funeral was beautiful. It slowed us down. We spent a few days with some of our oldest and dearest friends. We cried together. We laughed together. We remembered together. And together we created displays of who Ashley was in tribute to her short but amazing life. It was a God-filled experience. God was with us in our grief and in our celebration of her life. The promise of God in Christ is not just the joy of the resurrection, but also that God will be with us through our darkest hours, too. So what is our part in the promise? Jesus tells the crowd to take up your cross and follow me. What a mysterious proclamation. Think about churches that you have visited. What do they all have in common? Crosses, right? Some are made of fine materials like gold and silver. Some are made from scraps of wood. Some are built into stained glass windows. I'm kind of partial to the cross in the big window behind me here at Vine Street. Some of us even wear crosses around our necks. We have all of these reminders of the cross that Jesus had to bear. But we all have our own crosses to bear. Sometimes we're tempted to leave our burdens at the door. Sometimes we come to church and pretend that we don't have them. But we cannot ignore them. Jesus implores us to take up our crosses and follow him. We do not have to bear them alone. God will walk with us. And because of this promise, we can all walk together. As of Friday morning, the town of Henryville, Indiana, was only known as the birthplace of Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame. But Friday afternoon changed all that. The F4 tornado that blew through the town of 2000 did massive amounts of damage and took the lives of at least 14. That number growing even as I was writing this. One man drove into town behind the storm to check on family. He found that his aunt and uncle and their 4-year-old grandson had been killed. In the aftermath, a 20-month-old little girl was found alone in a field outside of Henryville. No one knew who she was or how she had gotten there. She was later identified by extended family, although her parents could not come to her side because they were among the casualties of the storm. These stories go on and on. They include a multitude of people still searching for missing family members. But for all of those horrific stories, we see other stories of hope. The small school in Henryville put children on buses to go home early. Most made it home ahead of the storm. However, one bus had to turn back. The children ended up huddled in the principal's office. When they emerged, they found the bus they had been on not long before had crashed through the restaurant across the street. None of the students were injured. The student and driver of another bus, unable to make it further through the storm, were taken in by a family who opened their basement to them for shelter. All of those children were spared. The outgoing message on the answering machine of the St. Francis Xavier Church summed up the burden this town will collectively face. Hello, this is Father Steve. I'm sorry to let you know we do not have any detailed information ourselves on people. They are consolidating information at the fire station. However, there is no way of contacting the fire department through normal channels because the phone lines are down. All I can say is pray for your family and friends. As this small town climbs out of the rubble and begins to mourn the losses of friends, family, homes, possessions, this has become the cross they bear. But through the actions of friends and neighbors, they may begin to see a glimmer of hope that they are not alone. Leading up to Mark 8, being a disciple of Jesus was fairly easy. They followed him around. They listened to his mysterious teachings. They watched him heal the sick, cast out demons, miraculously feed 5,000 people. But today's scripture marks where it gets a little harder. Suddenly, being a disciple of Jesus becomes a little more complicated as he speaks in paradoxes about losing one's own life to save it. As Jesus begins his journey as the Son of Man and struggles with his messiahship, so too do we begin to struggle with what it means for us to be the faithful who follow Jesus. Peter was human. He had a very human understanding of what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. He learned in this conversation that he could not fully understand what Jesus would have to do. There was no other way. The way to salvation was for Jesus to be rejected, to suffer, and to die on the cross. There is no way around the crosses we will bear in our own lives. But we also know that we are not alone. God is with us even when that presence is masked by grief or tornado rubble. And we hold tightly to that knowledge that brings us comfort and hope.